When you think about the book of Romans chapter 5, down in verse 8, where the Bible says, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us." When we think about what that great prophet Isaiah wrote in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, down in verse 14, where God's beautiful word says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." The Bible says, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," translated God with us. When you think about the book of Matthew chapter 1, down in verse 21, where the Bible says, "And she will bring forth the son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their" what? From, the Bible says, from their sins. When we think about the book of Romans chapter 10, down in verse 13, where the scripture says, "Therefore whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be," does anybody know? The Bible says, "shall be saved." When we consider even just those few passages of scripture, you know, what should be coming to our mind is how much we should be certainly seeking Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Every single day in our life, we should certainly be seeking after the righteousness of God and going after Jesus Christ. I remember what the Bible says over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. The book of Isaiah, chapter 55, down in verse 6, when the Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found," the scripture says, "Call upon him while he is" what? "While he is near." Meaning what? Today is the day. Today is the day that we need to be seeking him. We're eventually going to run out of time. Did you know that one day it is going to be too late for those procrastinators? For the ones that continue to put Jesus Christ off? For the ones that refuse to seek after God and seek after the righteousness of God? One day, if you continue like that, it's going to be too late. We are promised by the Hebrew writer in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, down in verse 27. The Bible says, "It is appointed once for a man to die, but after this," does anybody know? "After this, the judgment." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done." The scripture says, whether good or what? Whether good or bad. So we have some passages of scripture that makes it very clear and lends itself to say that we know that this life is one day going to come to an end. That's why, once again, brothers and sisters, I want to make sure that we understand the title of our lesson this morning, Seeking After the Lord. Will you say that with me today? Seeking after the Lord. We need to be sure we're involved in that, in all that we say and all that we do. I want us to take a look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father," what's the Bible say? "Through him." So friends, let me ask each and every person assembled here together, all of us as we are assembled together, let me ask you a question. And I believe this question should certainly go out to everyone, not only in the church, but also to those out in the world. Do you really understand what it means? And do we as a group of people understand truly what it means to seek after the righteousness of God? Do we understand what it means to seek after Jesus Christ? I believe we need to be reminded again of a passage of Scripture we look at quite often in almost every lesson, Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33, because I believe if we're not doing that, then nothing really is going to happen. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 33, "Seek ye the kingdom of God and his," and then when we do that, all of these things, finish it up, "shall be added unto us." So the Lord's not going to just sit there and tell us, "Well, you better seek after me, and this is what your requirements are, this is what your scriptural obligations are, this is because you say you love me, these are the things you've got to do," and then not equip us with the things that he needs to equip us with. He tells us in his word to make sure that he is first and foremost, and God will provide us the things we need to do just that. Does that make sense? So we ought today to be seeking after God, seeking after righteousness of God. But sadly, we've got people in our society today that truly don't understand what seeking God and putting God first in life really means. Friends, I believe it's extremely important that we be reminded and reminded on a constant basis about what it means to seek first the kingdom, seeking after the righteousness of our Heavenly Father. I think about what Amos says over in the book of Amos chapter 4, down around verse 12. A lot of idolatry going on. And Amos is making it clear. He says, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel." Watch these next words. You're going to like this. "Seek me and" what? "Seek me and live." Is that what the Bible says? seek me, and the Bible says, and live. So I would like for you and me to take a look at something else in the book of Deuteronomy. Would y'all go to Deuteronomy? All right. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's look at verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and let's share together verse 29 and see what's going on there. The scripture says again, from there, watch this, but from there you will seek the Lord your who? Your God, and you will find him if you seek him. And why? Here's a condition. If you seek him with what? All of your heart, as Jerry said a while ago, and all of your what? So with everything, Heather, with everything you've got, that's what we've got to do for the Lord. Does that make sense? Seek him with everything that we have. So I would like for you and me to consider just about three or four real short points, things we can consider this morning as we talk today about seeking after the Lord. The first point I want us to examine this morning as we talk about seeking after the Lord and seeking after his righteousness, I believe we should seek after the Lord because he loved us way before we loved him. Amen. He loved us way, way before we ever loved him. Listen, if you believe the Bible at all, if you believe in the scriptures at all, if you believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly and truly equipped for every good work, if you believe what Paul told Timothy, then you've got to believe that God loves his people. Amen? Because all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, everything that we see is predicated upon God's love for mankind. He loves us, but he hates sin. Does that make sense? All right, we're going to look and see what the Bible says about that here in just a moment. But head over to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Look with me at verses 9 through 11. 1 John, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. The scripture says, in this is love, watch this, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might what? We might live, and who are we living through? Him. Who's the him? Very good. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the Bible says, for our sins. So Jesus took your place and my place on the cross, did he not? Beloved, if God so loved us, then you and I, surely we ought to what? Love one another, shouldn't we? Now watch this. Go to 12 with me. Just go ahead and do it. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been, the Bible says, perfected in us. Now we know. There is no doubt in your mind or my mind. Now we know that God loves us, and he has proven his love for us. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just say in Scripture, you know, I love you. He put that into action. He demonstrated his love for us. He was showing us in every move that he made just how much he loves you and me. But what about our love for him? If you love the Lord this morning, would you confirm it with an amen? So we probably all said that, but what are we doing to demonstrate our love for him? Are we willing to seek after Jesus Christ? Are we willing to seek after the righteousness of God? Are we willing to seek his word? Are we willing to seek those commandments to do what God is calling us to do? Folks, God loves us, and I want to remind you of that in spite of our imperfections. Do you know that? In spite of when we sin and we fall short of the glory of God, he still loves us. He doesn't like the sin, but he loves the sinner, doesn't he? All right, let's go back to the book of Romans. Would somebody help the preacher and tell me if Romans is in the Old Testament or New? It's in the New. I don't know where it's at there. Romans chapter 5. Y'all ready for verses 6 to 11? The Bible says in Romans 5, verses 6 to 11, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? He died for us. He died for the ungodly, didn't he? Now watch this. For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps, the Bible says, for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Y'all ready for verse 9? Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Go to 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. That means we were brought together. That means we were cleaned up, doesn't it? Everything balances. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Go to 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have now received the reconciliation. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about his love. It's all about what he gave. It's all about his generosity. It's all about the goodness of God. It's all about God's great love for you and me. It's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we've earned. Amen? It is all about God and how awesome our God is. I hope we realize what was given to us when we was given this spiritual freedom. Your spiritual freedom and my spiritual freedom. I hope we realize that there was a great cost involved in that. Do we realize, fully realize, and understand the enormous sacrifice that it took so that you and I could have that spiritual freedom? You and I need to always remember that we were purchased. You and I have been purchased, redeemed, if I may, by the blood of his only begotten Son. A life that was given upon that old cross so that we could have life after the cross. Amen? And that's what it's all about. So we need to continue to remember just that. When we talk about seeking after the Lord, I'm convinced, your first point, listen, I believe that we should seek after the Lord because he loved us way before we loved him. Is everybody together with me? Y'all ready for point number two? All right. The second point that I want us to examine this morning from the Scriptures, I am convinced that we should seek after God because of the holiness of God. Does that make sense? We should seek after him because of the holiness of Almighty God. We can see the holiness of God in the hatred that he has for sin. I've heard it said before that God doesn't hate. Well, I beg to differ. God hates sin. I think about what the Lord says over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, down around verse 9. We know that he doesn't hate the sinner, but he sure hates sin, doesn't he? Because of what sin has cost him. Proverbs 15:9, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows what? Righteousness. Very good. Now drop down, if you don't mind, stay in the same chapter, but go down to verse 26. Proverbs 15, verse 26. God's word says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure, they're very what? Thank you, Teresa. They're very pleasant. And then, if you go back to the book of Proverbs, let me find that. Is that old or new, brothers and sisters? Old, somebody said new. Is it? Which one is it? All right. That's usually where Courtney throws me off. Like I said, where's the book of Exodus? And she'd say, right after the book of Luke. And you didn't think I'd tell them you, did you, Courtney? All right. I'm glad she's got a good humor. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's go check this out as we consider God's hatred of sin. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19, this is addressed to individuals that says God doesn't hate anything. I'm going to show you where he does indeed. Watch this. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. What is in his heart? He devises evil how often? And he sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken, and broken without what? Remedy, the Bible says. These six things the Lord hates. There it is. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running, the Bible says, to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates it when we sow discord, doesn't he? Especially among the brethren. So make sure that we do all that we can to honor God. Why? Because of his holiness. Why should you and I seek after the Lord today? We should seek after the Lord because of his holiness. And his holiness, brothers and sisters, is clearly shown in his punishment of sinners. God will not allow sin in heaven. Does that make sense? Because sin is sin, and heaven is perfect, isn't it? So he's not going to allow anything to contaminate that. Take a look what the Bible says. In the book of Psalm, chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. The Bible says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your what? You hate all workers, the Bible says, of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and the deceitful man. He doesn't like that, does he? So God, will God allow sin? to continue without forgiveness? That's a great big negative. Will he allow sin to be entered into heaven? That's a great big no. So, hey, do you happen to remember Isaiah chapter 59, looking at verses 1 and 2, what the Bible says regarding God's holiness and how it is shown in separation from sinners? The Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is God's ear heavy that it cannot hear." Now watch what separates people from God. Y'all ready? Here's what the Bible says. But your what? What's another word? What's a synonym for iniquity? Your sin, your shortcomings, the Bible says, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you. So when you're away from God, we talked about this a little bit on this past Wednesday night. If there is a separation between you and God, He's not the one that moved, you did. Because God's paid the price. He sent His only begotten Son to die in your place and mine. We saw that while ago. Jesus was the propitiation. That word propitiation means substitute. He took your place and my place on the cross, giving us an opportunity at life after the cross. Amen. All right, so we ought to be seeking after God because of His righteousness. The third point that I want us to consider this morning, I believe and I'm convinced that we should seek after the Lord because of His, and thank God for it, His mercy. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the mercy and the grace that you give and you show. Do we realize that the only reason that you and I even have an opportunity at salvation is because of His mercy? Do we truly realize that? We have not earned a right, brothers and sisters, to the tree of life. We have not earned anything in that. We have not earned a spot in the Father's mansion. We've not earned that. We have not performed a multitude of alms and great deeds to get where we want to be with God. That's not what we do to get to heaven. It is by the mercy of God. It is by the grace of God. In part of our Wednesday night classes and Sunday night classes, it is by our faithful obedience unto God that we get to go to that beautiful prepared place for prepared people. Does that make any sense to you? So I hope we understand that it is our love for the Lord and it is our obedience, faithful obedience, that we are able to go to that place being prepared for prepared people. I have to think about God's grace and mercy and how that great psalmist talked about that over in Psalm chapter 145. In Psalm chapter 145, verses 8 and 9, when you look at that passage, the Bible says the Lord is gracious. Matter of fact, He says He's full of what? Compassion. Isn't that beautiful? Full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. Look at number 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all of His works. And then head over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Folks, it is certainly my chief desire, and I hope it is yours, to forsake sin. I hope it's your desire to get away from sin, to go after the righteousness of God, to make sure that we're seeking after the Lord. Proverbs 28, 13, the Bible says, but watch this, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them, what's going to happen? There's going to be what shown? You will have, as the Bible says, mercy. So if you want to be under the grace, if you want to be under the mercy of God, under the compassion of God, then we have got to seek after Him. Does that make sense? The final point that we're about to have in this lesson will go home with you. Finally, I believe together today that we should seek after the Lord because of His forgiveness. How many of us want forgiveness? Some of y'all are dead asleep. I hope you wake up before the Lord comes. And I look back and there was two of you back there going, one eye was open, one eye was closed. You know me, I'll call it out next time. My own child. And I'm just kidding. He wasn't asleep. He was just resting his eyes, as Paula told me before. I said, Paula, you went to sleep during my lesson. She said, I did not. I was resting my eyes. I've got to be honest, though. I was listening the other day to one of my lessons. I get home sometime, and I try to critique it, thinking, well, I need to speed them up. I need to slow it down. I go too long. I didn't go long enough, whatever. And I'm going to tell you, be honest with you, that was the best nap I've had in years. And so I thought, you know, the doctor says, do you need some medication to ease pain and let you rest? No, I'll just listen to one of my sermons. That's not supposed to be funny. Okay, let's give the fourth point and we'll roll after that. So listen to this. So listen, really. We should seek after the righteousness because of His forgiveness. I want to be forgiven. I sin. I fall short. I am pathetic. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm nothing but a worm without God. Amen. I am lost and I'm headed straight for hell without my God. Without the blood of Jesus Christ and the opportunity to confess my sins, the opportunity to wash in the blood of Jesus Christ, the opportunity to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, brothers and sisters, I was headed for hell. Thank God He loved me enough that He sent Jesus for me. Amen. Thank God He loved you and me together enough that He said, I'm going to look through heaven. I'm going to send my Son from the beauty, comfort, and splendor of heaven to walk upon the earth like you're walking, to go through what you're going through. But we didn't go through anything compared to what Jesus went through, did we? And have we? Jesus was beaten 40 minus 1. That means 40 would put Him to death, and He was backed off at 39, just about the point of death. He was scourged, wasn't He? He was mocked. He had those crown of thorns not placed upon His brow, crushed into His brow. He was beaten just about to death and then rejected by His own. And His best friend, supposed to be one of His friends, betrayed Him. Now, He didn't point at Him, Bobby, and say, there He is. He kissed Him on the cheek, didn't He? Didn't He, brothers and sisters? This is what Jesus did for you. This is what He did for me. Shouldn't we seek after His righteousness because of the forgiveness that comes along with that? By being obedient to His will? By responding to the call of Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, we should seek after the righteousness of God because of His forgiveness. I love what Psalm 103:12 says. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions. That word transgression also means sin, doesn't it? I also think about Isaiah chapter 1, down around verse 18. Seek the Lord. Now listen, this is why we need to do that. We need to seek Him for forgiveness because the Bible says, come now and let us what together? Reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them as what? Thank you, Bobby. I'll make them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, which is, by the way, a great color. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There you go. What does that mean? That means forgiveness, doesn't it? Let's get that roll tie thing out for a second. I got a few looks on that, but anyway, you know the story. So let's look at another passage of Scripture that clearly shows that seeking God is indeed the right thing to do. Psalm 32, verse 1. Psalm chapter 32, verse 1. Courtney, is that Old or New Testament? That's right. Mom and him are here, so she's got it. Okay. Psalm 32, verse 1. Thank you, Courtney. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven and whose sins are very good. So once again, why should we seek God? Why should we seek after the righteousness of God? Why should we seek Him? We should seek Him because of the forgiveness that comes with knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? And being a faithful, obedient child of Almighty God. Let me close the lesson today by bringing up John chapter 14 and in verse 2. I'm doing what I'm doing today because I love the Lord and I love my brothers and sisters. Amen? We come together today because you love the Lord and you should love your brothers and sisters. And we're doing this today because we are preparing ourselves for that prepared place. I love this. In the book of John chapter 14 and in verse 2, you know, there's a lot of promises that get broken in life, isn't it? I remember one time my mom and dad kept telling me, if you act right and you get this and you're great, if you finish your grades like that, I promise you, you have our word. Opryland was a great big deal to us. Some people go to Six Flags, but when I was a kid, Opryland, some of you guys didn't even have eyebrows back when Opryland was open. But the reality is, mom and dad used to say, I promise you, have a word, if you just do this, if you can just, you know, skate through it, you know, get a D+, we'll be happy. You know what? And then I remember when I got that D+, you know, it was a broken promise. And we'll have to get there. And guess what? It went out of business. So as far as I'm concerned, they still owe me, though they're in heaven, an Opryland trip. Somebody needs to pay that. Or perhaps if you feel sorry for me, then give me a ticket to Six Flags and then I'll forgive mom and dad. But a promise that's been given to us is a promise that will never be broken. And Jesus says to you and me, in my Father's house. Let's go. Let's look at that together. In my Father's house are many what? And Jesus says, if it were not so, what I've told you. And Jesus says, and I go to prepare a place for you. Is that what He tells us? And He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you will be. Give me the next word. There you're going to be also. I love that promise. Do y'all like that promise? All right, because that's what I want to do. I want to be with heaven. I want to be with God in heaven. I want to be right there worshiping Almighty God for eternity. Not spending eternity there, because as we've said before, you can't spend eternity. You can give me a dollar and I can spend that dollar. It's gone, but you can't spend eternity. It never ends. Amen? So I want to be with God for eternity. I want to be in that prepared place for eternity. That's what I'm longing for. The only way that I'm going to get there, the only way that you're going to get there is seeking after the Lord in His righteousness. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? If you didn't, I can start all over for you. Did you get anything out of that? They always respond a lot stronger when I do that. All right. Today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, obviously you're not actually seeking God yet. Maybe you're looking around a little bit. Maybe you're hearing His Word. But please respond to the call of Jesus Christ. He's calling you to come to Him with a repentant heart, to make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He was killed, He was buried, and upon the third day He rose again, and now today He sits at the right hand of the Father. We can have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Amen? But baptism is certainly essential unto salvation. Without that baptism, we're not going to heaven. Do you understand that? That ain't what Jerry said. Good grammar. That ain't what Jerry said. That's what the Bible says, right? All right. So be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Be faithful unto death. And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe today you are already a Christian. You've already taken the steps of salvation. But you realize that things have come up. There's been some decoys. You kind of hit the guardrail a little bit. You need the prayers of the congregation. You want to walk stronger in Jesus Christ. You want to seek after Him even stronger than what we have been. Let us pray with you, for you, encourage you, help you any way that we can. If you've erred from the truth and you want to return to the Lord, now's the perfect time to do it. If you have a need, any need at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand and we sing.